Let's bring you to Bob Parker.
I've been there about 6 years at First Methodist. I knew he was the most powerful man in the church. He and Bill Broadhurst gave most of the money.
Tell us who Bill Broadhurst is.
Bill Broadhurst was one of the pioneer oil men. When I came here, he was old, and he still was drilling some. But I got connected with some real unusual people. He'd send me to Asbury to revivals, pay my way there, pick any sermon you hear that you really like, come back and preach it to me.
He said, I want you to bring the best sermon
you preach it to me right here in this office. And so I did that. Now I went 5-6 times down to Asbury to those outbound meetings where they brought the top evangelists in from all over the country.
So then,
called Wishard Wizard. He could not say Wishard.
Wishard.
Okay, then Bob Parker.
I liked his mother. I met her because she went to the hospital and I visited her. So
and
we
she
came
loved
real
you.
Close. And she loved me and I loved her. And Bob was a little bit aloof. He never admits people into his life at all.
But well, he's very careful about it.
About 6 months,
risky.
6 years later, he stopped me in the hall of First Methodist Church. That must have been, anyway.
1974.
Yeah, and said, Wish, I've been watching you operate around here, and I'd like to try an experiment. Would you like to go down and live on one of my rigs in Peru in South America for a week and see what happened? Well, gosh, I hadn't been since World War II to any place except the Broken Arrow. And no money or anything like that. So I said, sure, I'd be glad to go. He says, okay, be in my office at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'll let you know what you're going to do. The next morning at 10 o'clock, I showed up. Now, he was the chief executive officer, chairman of Parker, owner of Parker Drilling Company. He said, now, Wishart, you got some restrictions on you. I don't want you to go out there and do anything churchy. He says, I'm working in countries where they don't allow Christian ministers in there. You can't proselyte. If you did, you'll get my company kicked out of the country. If I ever hear of you buttonholing anybody for Jesus Christ, you're fired. He said, all you're going to do is three things. You're going to listen, and that's something you don't know how to do. You preachers talk all the time. You never listen. Secondly, I want you to encourage whenever you can and help whenever you can. Just listen, encourage, and
those
help.
Those are all things that
that's
Jesus
your
would do.
Now, in the helping, you've got my resources to help you. And if they need an ice cream machine, you let me know. I'll get them an ice cream machine. Anything. So I went off. Now, Bill Thomas was very close to Bob in a way that I never could get. Bob had brought this up first with him. And so he sent Bill to the North Slope of Alaska.
Prudhoe Bay, would that have been?
Yeah, Prudhoe Bay, yeah. Mm-hmm. He had about never fewer than 8 rigs running up there. And he says, I want you to go up there and see what you can do. And he didn't give him any instructions. And he's a senior pastor, you know, their boss. So Bill went up there, and they closed several rigs down that were close enough and brought all the guys together, and he preached to them. Well, they all loved it. But Bob realized, hey, this is a waste of time. That won't work. But he didn't tell Bill that. He said, no, I'm going to try and get Wishart if he can go up there. So then he gave me these restrictions. He didn't want any preaching. He didn't want any prayer groups or Sunday schools or anything like that. I just want you to deal with these people one-on-one in a week, and I want to see what happens. Well, man, that was like chicken feed to starving chickens. I mean, I hit first base with those guys. They were my kind of people. They were a bunch of SOBs, and I was too. And it just worked out beautifully. And I came back after a week. It hit the ground. It was my ministry. It was where I wanted to be. I finally felt like I was where I was supposed to be.
Well, and it lifted Jesus up. Mm-hmm. And he had finally learned something about lifting Jesus up.
You were given those 3 points, and you weren't supposed to preach about
That's
Jesus?
Right. I didn't preach.
Or talk, didn't you feel compelled to want to talk about?
Only insofar as the guys asked me.
Okay.
And
listen,
all
that's
asked.
The first thing. I had to get acquainted with these guys, and one-on-one, not formally. I was on the job with the pushers and the drillers and all that all day. Worked with them on the rigs, went from rig to rig.
When you worked with them, were you helping with the tools?
No, I didn't do any labor.
But you just hung out with them.
He said, for God's sakes, take care of Wish while he's down there, will you? He says he's liable to get kidnapped or something like that.
Wisher was a needy type person.
Oh.
He would pack and go down to a rig in Peru, and he would forget his belt. The men on the rig would create him a belt out of ropes or whatever was available. And he would wear those ropes to keep his pants up. he knew and they knew that there was a need there, and he was needy.
Yeah.
And they all found something to do.
Two years after I started this, I had a ruptured appendix on the island of Borneo. No hospitals, no nothing. Nobody expected me to survive. They took me to the Union Oil Company. They had a doctor there. He said, this man's had a ruptured appendix. You've got to get him to Singapore. This is a hothouse for germs.
1,000 miles away.
This is a hothouse for germs. If I operated on him, it'd kill him. They had two planes there at Balikpapan, a big place in Borneo. One of them had to be fixed so it could carry me, because I was unconscious by that time. They took the seats out, and then they sent one of the guys as a male nurse with me.
I heard that you just commandeered the plane from Union Oil.
Bob did. Oh, yeah. It took it over. Later on, the president of Union Oil called from California and said, what the hell were you doing with a preacher down there in Borneo anyway? Well, that's what everybody thought, see? He didn't understand.
That officer from Union Oil corresponded with me and told me that there had been 8 or so people on the island who had surgery. Every single one of them died.
Yeah. They radioed Singapore ahead to the hospital there to have an ambulance at the airport, because this was late at night. We didn't leave until 7, and it was a midnight when we got to Singapore. Since 6:30 in the morning, I'd been out.
He was unconscious.
We got there, and the ambulance wasn't there. So they took me out of the plane on the stretcher and just laid me there. I remember looking up once or twice to see the stars up there. That's all I remember.
You were just lying out there in Singapore where the planes came in.
At midnight. And then the ambulance came and took me. What was the name of the hospital?
Glen Eagles Hospital.
Yeah, famous. And my name is Dr. Lee. I'm going to operate on you. You need not worry. I take care of you. I educated in England. I am a fine doctor. You don't need to worry.
Board certified doctor.
Board certified.
From
and
London.
I just went passed out. It was 4 days later before I came to in a big room with other guys, and I was sweating all over the place. Here this big nurse came with a Napoleon hat on and leaned over me and said, sir, would your company pay for you for a private room with air conditioning? I couldn't even say yes, boss. And they moved me in there. Then when I finally needed everybody, I needed people all the way through. Those darn roughnecks and their families who lived in Singapore came by every day to visit me, and they brought their kids with them. A lot of times they didn't even know what to say, but they stood there with me, you know. And then when they realized they had to look out for Wish Lemons. Hmm. And that changed the whole direction of my ministry. They were afraid I was going to get kidnapped, number one. Number two, or get sick or something like that. So it helped me a whole lot in reaching up. There are two directions if you want to help people. Reach out and reach up. The reach up was the one I had learned in the hospital all that time. They were helping me. I wasn't ministering to them. They were ministering to me.
Reaching down.
Opened the doors down, not only in Borneo, but all over the planet where we had 130 rigs in 20 and more fewer than 29 different countries. The whole time I worked.
Well, the concept of reaching down like, oh, you poor soul, let me help you up here where I am, does not fly.
That's not the way I reached them. I looked up to them.
Well, you literally Coleridge,
C-O-L-I-D-G-E, one of the famous English men. You probably studied in English literature. He said, I have never met a person who was not my superior in some way. But the only way you're going to find that out is to listen. And so that's what I worked on. And I quickly found out they could do things I couldn't begin to do.